Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. A little bit later in the program, we should get an update from the president of Gun Owners of America on a bill in Congress that could possibly threaten your right to keep and bear arms. Now, we have audio from the floor of the financial exchange in Chicago, the Merck. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And a few years back, I arranged a tour of the Merck for one of our groups. We were going to Turkey, a Bible tour of Turkey, about 30 of us. We were flying out of Chicago, so we thought we'd go to the Merck first, and that was a lot of fun. But you got to hear this from today, CNBC, financial news program, Rick Santelli, talking about Obama's stimulus package and what a scam and a fraud and how destructive it is. This is just great audio from CNBC of all places. Let's tune in.
Also, we want to get to our task force right now. Rick Santelli and Jason Roney of Sharma Capital are standing by at the CME Group in Chicago. And Rick, have you been listening to this conversation?
You know, the government is promoting bad behavior. I'll tell you what, I have an idea. You know, the new administration's big on computers and technology. How about this, president and new administration? Why don't you put up a website to have people vote on the internet as a referendum to see if we really want to subsidize the losers' mortgages, or would we like to at least buy cars and buy houses in foreclosure and give them to people that might have a chance to actually prosper down the road and reward people that could carry the water instead of drink the water.
Hey, Rick,
that's a novel idea.
Hey Rick, did you...
What? Who thought of that?
They're like putty in your hands.
That's did the you whole
hear?
No,
they're not, Joe. They're not like putty in our hands. This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills?
How about we all...
President Obama, are you listening?
We all stop paying our mortgage? It's a moral hazard.
You know, they're pretty much of the notion that you can't buy your way into prosperity, and if the multiplier that all of these Washington economists are selling us is over one, then we never have to worry about the economy again. The government should spend $1 trillion an hour because we'll get $1.5 trillion back.
Wow, what great points. There were so many great points. There was a whole degree on economics there in that 2 minutes. It's a moral hazard. The government rewards bad behavior. You don't pay your mortgage, so your neighbor pays it for you. Let's all stop paying our mortgage and let Obama pay everybody's mortgage. Isn't that better? Somebody who was a gambler would have stopped paying their mortgage about 3 or 4 months ago, figuring Obama's going to pick up the slack and pay it for him. And that guy comes out, that guy, if you saw it on CNBC, this guy leans into the frame and says, it's a moral hazard. He's right. And then it was just so perfect. Rick Santelli says, why doesn't the government spend $1 trillion every hour? If we're going to get back $1.5 trillion for every trillion they spend, let the government spend $1 trillion every day. And then we'll all be billionaires. It's all a scam. Great job. We went to the Merck. If you don't understand the function of the futures market, it's an important function. It's great. Okay, O'Reilly, he's a bit of a populist, and he's confused about what caused gas prices to explode last year. But let's now talk about something else. On Christian TV last night, these co-hosts, I'm not going to name the show, but these co-hosts were giving advice to parents regarding teenagers, saying that we need to teach them to wait until marriage. That's good. On Christian TV last night. But we have to be realistic and tell the kids about birth control. Yikes! You know, the entire Christian homeschool movement would collectively gag at that ungodly advice. Kids meet the expectations put on them. If you tell your 14-year-old daughter, honey, you need to wait until you're married. We don't want you sleeping with your boyfriend, but just in case, here's a package of condoms. If you do that, first of all, you're a lunatic. Secondly, you're a bad parent. And third, you're setting your daughter up to fail. You're telling her what you really think of her, what you really think she is. Here's what we expect of you, honey. We don't think that you're pure. We don't think you have self-control. We don't think you have self-respect. We think you'll probably put out for one boy after another. So we want to minimize the damage. Of course, you're setting her up for failure and working toward maximizing the damage in her life. So that's just one snippet of Christian TV last night, a national show. Now, our BEL New York Times circulation project is well underway. It's called The Gray Lady, and she's probably gray because she has a circulatory problem. Remember, we announced this project, what, 2 months ago? Now their stock price has dropped lower than the price of their Sunday paper. You could either buy the paper or buy a share of their stock. That's how bad they're doing. A couple months ago, we announced our project when it was advertised that their circulation of the Times is only 600 papers above the 1 million mark. So it's 1 million and 600 papers, not 600,000, 600. So we're urging the BEL audience, yes, that's you, to play a role in the downfall of the New York Times, the downfall of the old gray lady, by getting friends and coffee shops to cancel their Times subscription. Push them under the 1 million subscriptions, under that psychological threshold that keeps them together. So since we've announced our project, what have they done in the last 2 months? They've been selling floors in their prestigious Manhattan headquarters. They're selling their headquarters. And now their stock price has dropped lower than the price of a single Sunday newspaper, less than $4, and it couldn't happen to nicer people. Those child-killing, anti-Christian bigots at the New York Times. Liars, frauds. And so, but we don't have a good name. You know, we have a lot of good names for things. We know how to get the message across. Like, don't support any law that ends with, and then you could kill the baby. So we don't have a good name for the Bobinert Live New York Times circulation project. It doesn't roll off your tongue. I don't know what do we call it? Maybe the audience could help us think of something to call it. We probably need some term that has something to do with a circulatory disease. That might work, like arrhythmia or varicose veins, hardening of the arteries. I don't know what we can call it, but hemorrhaging, myocardial infarction, something that could describe our New York Times circulation project. If you think of it, let us know here at Bobinert Live, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Our annual broadcast telethon is doing great. We're at 87%. Boy, we could use your help. Our goal is $20,000 to help this radio show stay on the air for another year. We're at $17,500, 87%. Please, if you can help, please call us, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. On The View, you know that TV show, The View? I never see The View, but they got a snippet on YouTube. And they talked about killing animals, and then Elizabeth Hasselbeck brought up killing children in abortion. And that was pretty good that she made that connection. Now, she herself, she doesn't understand the God-given right to life of the unborn. She is pro-life at some level, but she says, well, I'm not talking about all abortions. I'm talking about late-term abortions. That's like saying, I'm not trying to protect all the Jews from the Holocaust, just the girls under age 12. You know, the boys, I'm not talking about them. It's ridiculous. But I'd like you to listen to this audio clip from The View and see what you think.
When Sarah Palin came on the national scene last summer, few knew that she promotes the brutal aerial killing of wolves. Now back in Alaska, Palin is again casting aside science and championing the slaughter of wildlife. They die a brutal death.
Wow. So tell me what you think about it.
I know, at first when I heard about it, I thought, well, you know, it's just a little horrifying for me to watch that. I love animals. But what does Sarah Palin?
Well, I think it is horrifying to see anything killed. And I think that the difference here is that to control the caribou population in Alaska, this was something that the wolves were overpopulated, and they were hindering the population of the caribou, which are thereby protected by Alaska. But the problem that I have here is, like, a lot of these vocal celebrities, in a way, get very loud about these animal killings. Like, is she as loud as... She said, how many wolves have been killed? 900 this year. She's loud as about the 260,000 kids that are killed in abortions. Like, I don't understand.
Totally,
like,
you know what? That,
well,
you can. You know
I do,
what?
It's, I do
that's
jump.
A, it's a, that's a
I'm
very,
saying,
very huge.
She's
jump.
Using Sarah
vastly
Palin,
different.
Who has also been standing up for human rights and in terms of children's rights to
well,
attack
but,
her for
but
this.
But you don't know if she believes. You believe she's talking about animals, not children, right now.
Do you hear that? We're talking about animals, not children. Was that Whoopi? That was Whoopi Goldberg? Oh, that was Joy Behar. That was Sad Behar. We're talking about animals, not children. We're trying to protect animals. Will you shut up about kids? We support killing kids. We want to talk about animals. That's how wicked they are, huh? And so Elizabeth Hasselbeck, it's great that she makes that connection. But then she said something really terrible. So let's hear this.
People who are consciously killing those wolves and the people who are making other decisions in terms of maybe not all abortions. I don't think, you know, every woman's situation is different. I'm just saying, like, late term specifically.
Pretty tragic, right? Elizabeth is part of the Republican cancer that's destroying the ability of Americans to think about right and wrong. So she's saying, I'm not talking to everybody's circumstances different. Some people really maybe should kill their kids, but I'm just talking about late term. Of the millions of children who have been slaughtered, I'm not talking about 99% of them. I'm talking about 1% of them. You see how confused that is? So is abortion the killing of an innocent child, a boy or a girl, or is it not? And now let's hear from The View, Sherry Shepherd, who said something that seemed like it made no sense, but it really did. Let's listen.
I'm for the life of the child. God knows I'm for the life of a child because
right.
I've had abortions. But there are people who
right.
care about other things as well.
Can I interrupt you?
You don't know
I just
her.
Made a comment
yes.
that made no
videos.
Sense whatsoever. I said, God
That's
knows
right.
I love life because I've had a lot of abortions.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
I know what you meant.
I meant to say, it didn't make sense. I meant to say the guilt of having
right.
a lot of
we
abortions.
Know.
I love life.
Just,
it didn't make
no,
any sense.
We totally got it.
Wow. And you know what Whoopi Goldberg did? She changed the topic, and they went to a commercial to get out of that topic. Here is Sherry Shepherd acknowledging she's had abortions. She's black, right? Planned Parenthood puts their abortion clinics in black neighborhoods all over the country, and the black race has decimated, 10 million black children have been killed by Planned Parenthood and a few other abortionists. 10 million, so that they're no longer America's number one minority. They're now number two behind Hispanics, who don't kill their kids as quickly as black women do. And so it's just so devastating. And here's this pro-choice woman saying that she has guilt for killing her children. You know, if you have your tonsils out, you don't have guilt about it. If they have to remove a kidney, you don't have guilt. But you kill your child, and unless you're totally hard-hearted, the hearts of the nation have been turned against children, you should recognize that you've done something heinous, something wrong. You ask God to forgive you, and he will. Okay. Now, you know what? Our guest, we need to get our guest on. And just before we do that, hey, an Oklahoma City police officer pulled over a Christian because he didn't like the sign on his car. And the sign on this guy's car said, the guy's name is Chip Harrison, a pro-lifer in Oklahoma. Bob and Yurt Live, we were on in Oklahoma City for years on TV. Chip Harrison had a sign. It said, abort Obama, not the unborn. So a police officer pulls him over and says that this looks like a threat to kill the president. And so this pro-lifer in Oklahoma City was pulled over and they confiscated his sign off of his vehicle that said abort Obama, not the unborn. And you know what's so interesting about that? The police called the Secret Service. They went and searched his house. But anyway, I believe that's all resolved. The police report was just released today. But you know what's so fascinating about that? The cacophony of liberal outrage against this one pro-lifer, Chip Harrison, shows how brilliant he is, because he has baited thousands of Democrats into admitting, even in their own minds, abortion equals murder. That's what they're admitting. They don't realize it. This guy's threatening the president. This guy's saying, and you see that? So that's the Oklahoma City police report out today. You can read about it at drudgereport.com. Now, what an honor to have the president of the real gun rights group in America, Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt. Larry, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, thank you so much. It's good to be back.
Yeah, Larry, you and I have done quite a few shows together over the last 18 years, but I think it's been a while.
It has, and I'm glad we have a chance to talk about guns today, because there's an awful lot going on. This is an administration that, frankly, from the top down, the president and his new attorney general, they both of them don't believe, and they're on the record with votes and briefs before the Supreme Court.
They don't believe in the right to keep and bear arms. They don't believe in it.
No, sir. They believe we should be in jail, and they have voted that way and written that way. I'm not extrapolating.
Yeah, it's a crisis, Larry, and I'd like to ask you about this H.R. 45 in a moment, but before we do that, you are the president of Gun Owners of America, GOA, and for years I've noticed the difference between you guys, who I just love and get encouraged by your fight, and I get a bit discouraged by the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Could you, I don't know if you're comfortable talking about the difference between the two groups, and Larry Pratt, maybe you could even psychoanalyze me. Why is it, do I get discouraged by the NRA?
Well, I think there is a fundamental difference as far as, I don't think, you know, either one of us would have any difference about where we want to end up, but there's a big difference on how we get there. And I guess our approach to politics is best laid out in our founder's book. H.L. Richardson was a state senator in California for over two decades, and as part of his looking back over his career and what all he was making out of it, he saw as he went through his time in the legislature that the advocates of freedom, elected officials who really did believe in limited government, nevertheless often gave the store away. They didn't understand that politics is by its very nature confrontational. They wrote a book, Confrontational Politics, laying it out. And one of the ways that I find it helpful to explain how this is a basic concept and it's not something that H.L. Richardson invented or anybody else, at least not since Luke wrote about Christ's parable of the widow who was confronting an unrighteous judge. We don't know what she was after.
Right, but she was relentless.
She was relentless, and even though he denied her because, blow her off, she's a widow.
Right,
probably
and I'm
worse
a judge.
Than...
Right.
Yeah.
She was relentless. She was annoying. She demanded what was right, and eventually he gave in, and she won.
And in fact, in at least one translation, his concession speech was rendered, "She troubles me."
Right, she troubles me.
If we owned our own building, it would be my desire to put above the entry, "We trouble them."
We trouble them. Here comes trouble. Bob and Yurt Live. That's one of our slogans here. Here comes trouble.
We're on the same page, brother.
That's right. So Larry Pratt, the National Rifle Association, they seem so willing to get along, get a seat at the table, go ahead and regulate, just be reasonable. And Gun Owners of America, you guys are standing on principle, and you're fighting.
If the table is an illegitimately appointed table, and it's got stolen food and other merchandise on it, then the proper response is what Christ did in the temple when he turned the table over. He didn't say,
I want a seat at that table.
Man, right. Look at all of the loot and the baskets of money and the animals.
Right.
Man, this is just like Walmart, so, baby, in the first century.
Larry, you know what's fascinating? You might not follow the internecine squabbles within the pro-life movement, but there's a parallel between your group, Gun Owners of America, and the national group, NRA. And
I have seen that, certainly.
With National Right to Life,
yes,
that is so compromised and will support compromised regulation after regulation. They'll even endorse people who are against their position. And
because they want access.
They want access, and they want the millions of dollars that come from Republican, even from the NRC. Republican Party itself funds
right.
National Right to Life and Republican donors. So they're bought and paid for with lobbying dollars, and they compromise on the principle of life. And so God in the Bible, God affirms our right to self-defense. And it's not like the NRA, they talk about hunting all the time. It doesn't have anything to do with hunting.
No, it's a nice fringe benefit
of right.
military firearms. So obviously, if you're the idea of militia in our Constitution was not that you have a right to have a military firearm. We had colonial militia laws, and we had an early Republican law of 1792, passed right after the final ratification of the Bill of Rights. All of these things for over 150 years requiring all free men to have a military gun.
In other words, you should be part of the security of your society.
Yeah, so the homeland security is me and the other guys of at least military age, militia age, who live in a local community.
Right.
And
right.
to model it completely after colonial America, we would have charters from our state legislature for not just Denver would be huge, but some little area within the city, just like Washington, D.C. would be too big. You'd want it for the Grover Heights or Cleveland Heights militia or something like that. So this was very local, and it was intended to be activated when something local was a problem. And it was to be responded to by all the men. They would actually fine people, and they did it from time to time, when they were concerned that they were kind of, fibbing about who really owned the gun that they brought to militia muster, and they would make them certify that that was their gun. So their idea, when they went door to door for gun control in colonial America, it was to make sure that
you
guys
had
like you and me really had the gun we'd been at militia with.
that you had a gun. Now, your website, Larry Pratt, your website is gunowners.org. Gunowners.org, and it's so cool. Right on Google, I search for gun owners, number one, a no-compromise national gun rights organization. Larry, could you tell us about this H.R. 45?
It's an extraordinary piece of legislation, but I guess it's what you would expect from a socialist. Representative Bobby Rush from Chicago has submitted this H.R. 45, which meant he put it in on the first day of Congress. This is important to him. He wants everybody in America to ask for permission to own a gun.
It's a Licensing and Record of Sale Act, the Blair-Holtz Firearm Licensing and Record of Sale Act of 2009. So he wants us, he doesn't recognize that we have a right from God to keep and bear arms. That right didn't come into existence with the U.S. Constitution or the Bill of Rights. That comes from God. In the Bible,
exactly.
God shows us that wicked governments disarm the people. Wicked governments and righteous leaders rearmed the people.
You always wonder, what are the credentials of these politicians? What gives them the expertise to introduce a law that, which would be the, any one of these gun control laws that ever worked would be a first. If it worked and it actually snagged only criminals, that would be a first. Now, where does Mr. Rush get his expertise? Well, I don't think it was necessarily from being an alderman in Chicago. That may have given him a certain expertise, but not necessarily. Well, they're a very gun control oriented city, so that may have been part of it.
So they have a murder epidemic. It seems like the cities that have the tightest gun control laws have the highest murder rates.
Very strong correlation.
Yeah. Now, not always, but strong correlation. Yeah.
Mr. Rush was a founder of the Chicago Black Panthers. They were a street gang that mostly murdered each other, but they were a pretty vicious group. And in fact, a couple of his founding buddies were gunned down in a gun battle with Chicago police. Subsequent to that, Mr. Rush was incarcerated for 5 months on illegal weapons charges. So I thought, well, maybe that's where he came to the conclusion that, voila, after all, criminals will obey a gun control law. Well, maybe only if they're in jail, huh?
It's just bizarre. The criminals, by definition, are criminals. They're not going to abide by the law. And it's, we want law-abiding citizens to own weapons. That's what we want.
It seems to me like he has just the opposite view in mind.
Yeah.
And he wants to make it so that government could subsequently confiscate firearms because he wants people to have a license, not only for the guns that they might buy in the future, handguns and semi-automatic rifles and shotguns, but everything like that that they already own. And in order to get the license, it would be just a privilege. You'd have to submit biometric information, medical history, get a snapshot fingerprint, pass a test. The attorney general would be the one making the ultimate decision, and he would be the one to decide whether you would keep the license.
So, Larry, of course, we need to oppose H.R. 45, and we're about out of time. But I think one great way to do that is people should go to your website, check out your group, and many voices together have more influence.
Amen. We've got a free subscription to our email alerts at gunowners.org, and we really encourage people to be active in this and take advantage of it because it's going to be a rough 4 years.
All right, Larry Pratt. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Larry, we have to have you on soon again.
Looking forward to it.
All right. May God bless you, Larry Pratt.
Bye-bye.
And did you notice how Larry mentioned the Bible? He quoted Jesus Christ. And think, National Right to Life, would they do that? National Rifle Association, would they do that? It's just so funny. The parallel, it's extraordinary. National Right to Life, the compromise group, millions of dollars, compromise, losing the battle year by year. National Rifle Association, same thing. Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like American Right to Life. Wow, it's exciting. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And our website is kgov.com.